Today's scripture is two readings. The first one is from John 15, verse 26. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. You must also be ready to testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. And the second reading is from John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me.
Thank you. How do you get somebody out of bed in the morning who doesn't want to get up? Keith throws a pail of water. It's a good one, Keith.
You can use music that's slightly more enjoyable than a pail of water.
Music?
Heel to the middle of the bed.
Sorry, what was that, Derek?
Heel to the middle of the bed.
Heel. You're flexible. How do we get someone up who doesn't want to get up in the morning?
Let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out? Turn the light on. There we go. That's a good one. What was that one in the middle?
Cook bacon.
Ooh. John, you're kind. Cook bacon. Elijah? Ooh, rip the blankets off. There we go. I'm going to suggest there's two different ways we can do it, right? The carrot or the stick. We've heard that before. So, we can tell them something exciting that's going to happen today. Like cooking bacon, right? Like there's bacon. We can tell them something exciting to get them up. And the other thing that we can do is to make them uncomfortable, right? We can, just like Elijah said, pull back the covers. Pull back that comforter. So we have been learning about the Holy Spirit, and he is often referred to as the comforter. And I want to ask you today, though, but what if the Holy Spirit isn't primarily interested in making my life comfortable? What if his goal isn't to just wrap me in a warm blanket, a nice comforter, and let me stay in bed, you know, stay in this safe, secure, comfortable spot? What if Holy Spirit has something exciting for you to do today, this week, or this year, and he needs you to get out of bed, to get out of your comfort zone, so that you'll go do it? So today we are going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in mission. But if you just walked in and you missed a couple weeks, let's first recap. In our Holy Spirit series in week one, we looked at the Act 1 in the Bible, the Old Testament, where the spotlight was on God the Father. And we noticed that the Spirit was there during creation, that he breathed life, and that he came upon ordinary people so that they could perform extraordinary tasks. Right? He spoke through the prophets, and we are so grateful he did that because we have the Bible. We have his word, his spoken word. Then in Act 2, when the spotlight was on Jesus, we noticed how the Holy Spirit came for the first time and rested upon an individual. Right? Jesus would become our prototype for human interaction with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said it would be good that he left, because then the Holy Spirit would come and live within us. So then, in week 3, we looked at the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and how he acts within us. Right? He assures us that we are his. He connects us to his community, the body. And then he transforms us to look like God the Father. And Jesus' prayer before he left was that we would be one. So we noticed in week 4 how the Holy Spirit in the church, the role was to bring unity with these siblings that he has connected us to. And in this unity, in this community, we are transformed into the image of our God, who is a community. He is a Trinity. And then when we do that, Christians will be noticed by their love by others. And none of this happens without the work of the Holy Spirit. So today we've set the stage. It feels pretty good. It's a gift of God to have community who know us and who love us. But this is not the end of the story. If the story ended there, it would look like this all the time. Right? We'd come together, we'd feel comfy, we'd be wrapped in our comforter, maybe we'd be all singing together around the campfire, and we'd enjoy the comfort, we'd feel safe, and we'd feel protected against the very opposite culture that happens outside this building. And that, I believe, would be a trap of the enemy. The enemy might say to us, yes, that would be lovely to stay wrapped in your comforter, stay comfortable, stay in your Christian bubble. But what if the comforter wasn't sent to make us comfortable, but to make us missional? What if the Spirit doesn't just come to comfort us, but to send us? So if we stopped there, wrapped in our Christian culture, insulated from the world, only doing Christian things, then I think God would say, guys, you missed it. You missed the whole point. He'd say, I didn't give you such wealth and privilege so you could spend it on yourself. It's not yours to wrap yourselves in. Come on. Get up. We've got exciting things to do today. Do you realize the wealth and the privilege that God has given us, every one of us in this room? The wealth of knowing we have a blanket and a bed tonight. The wealth of knowing there is food for this week and food for next week. But also the wealth of the gospel that God has given to us, right? We are here at church today because somebody, somewhere, told and showed you God's love. What an amount of wealth that you hold. But you also hold such privilege. How many Bibles do we own in our house? Elijah, we don't even know. I too many to count. More than one. We have such privilege to own a Bible and to legally be allowed to read it. We have such privilege of being able to meet freely here together and express the love of God. The privilege to speak about our faith in our streets, in our town, in our home, and even in our lunchroom at work. And so I ask you, what has this wealth and privilege done for us? Well, generally, it's done what it usually does. Wealth and privilege are usually the initiators of laziness. Right? Wealth and privilege are usually the initiators of laziness. I remember my dad teaching me about the inherited third generation, he'd call it. Right? He would say, Grandpa built it. He, my dad, grew it and improved it, and we needed to make sure we didn't lose it. Ever heard this before? This happens in finances, but it also happens in faith. The first generation comes to faith. Right? The second generation comes to church. And the third generation comes to complacency. The spiritual cycle of wealth and privilege. Do you see it? The first generation are the gold diggers. Right? They worked hard and they struck gold. They found the treasure of great price and sold everything they had. As Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man has found and covered up. Then he goes and sells all he has to buy that field. Spiritually, the first generation discovered God, and it is good news. No longer is there despair, discouragement, darkness, lack. Now there is light, light in their souls, and God is joy, and you just can't stop talking about him. Do you recognize those first generation people? They just don't stop talking about God. They just shine. The second generation, they saw their dad dig. They saw their dad transformed from poverty to riches. They maybe remember dad struggling with addiction or an anger problem. And now, Dad sings with them in church. This second generation of faith see the benefit and they take it on themselves. They work hard for what Dad started, and they spend their time digging for gold, their own gold. But the gold doesn't have such a big wow factor because for them, they've had it for a while. It's pretty familiar. They've seen what God can do for them. They're grateful. But they're also privileged. They have had every kind of Bible storybook. They listen to Adventure and Odyssey in the car. They watch the Veggie Tales. And everybody in their house has the Bible app on their phone. And now the third generation. The third generation is the worry. Because these guys, they've never seen the struggles. They never saw Grandpa with addiction, or with anger, or with any kind of struggle. They heard about it, but they never saw Grandpa without this field of gold, and they're really not sure what life would look like without the privilege, and so they become complacent. They've inherited the faith, right? But they haven't actually owned the faith. The third generation has a Bible that they could read. They've heard all the stories. They've probably been to church their whole life, or at least every other Sunday. But somewhere along the way, the treasure became an inheritance instead of something they've discovered for themselves. So the third generation, they love God. What they think, they do. And they have a Bible that they could read. But they've got dust on their Bibles and brand new iPhones, and they wonder why they feel such a low level of anxiety. So, which generation are you? The third generation, when the Holy Spirit comes in the morning to say, good morning, let's go, we've got some good news to share. The third generation says, well, I felt comfortable. I don't really feel like it today. It can't be from God if I don't really feel it, right? That must be in the Bible somewhere. And why can't those people just help themselves? Because doesn't the Bible say somewhere, you know, that God helps people who help themselves? That sounds like it should come from the Bible, at least. And so I'm just going to stay comfortable. I'm going to stay comfortable in my Christian church, and I'm going to stay comfortable in my Christian youth group and in my Christian school. And when I get old, I'm going to go to a Christian old folks home because it's all very comfortable. And wealth and privilege make us comfortable. But the comforter wasn't given to make us comfortable, but to make us missional. He gave us the good news so that each one of us could discover the gold and become first generation. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." The Spirit was to come so that we would have the power to testify. And at Pentecost, the disciples were all scared. They were all huddled together. They were all comfortable together, waiting for this gift that Jesus talked about. And when the Holy Spirit came, they transformed to do what Jesus had been doing, to share the good news. When the Holy Spirit came, they began to speak their testimony, to share their God story. He had brought them from darkness to light. He had united Jew and Gentile. He had come upon men and women. It was an incredible testimony. Revelation 12:11 says, "They triumphed over him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony." So your God story, our God story, has the power to overcome the enemy, to push back darkness, and to bring people into God's marvelous light. And for those of you who have kids, this is why when each week and your kids come up to me and ask me for candy, I ask them for a God story. How have you seen God this week? I don't want these kids to tell me the shortest verse in the Bible and be rewarded. That is third generation behavior. I want them to move from third generation to first generation. I want them to see God. I want them to dig for gold. I want them to value the treasure that they've been given so that they can share it. When we are transformed by what happened to Peter at Pentecost, the same thing will happen to us. If we think about Peter 50 days earlier, he was in the comfort around the campfire and denied Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed. Comfort. Then it says in Acts 4:8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." What happened? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Who? Them. He said to the rulers. He said to the same people who he was afraid of. The very people who were involved in Jesus' death. Those rulers, the ones that he hid from. He said to them. Nothing changed in Peter except the Holy Spirit made his home in Peter's heart. And he wanted to tell everyone the good news. The good news that God is available to all. The good news that there are no more walls of separation between God and mankind. No more do we have to enter the temple to meet with God. We have become the temple. And God has come to meet with us in our hearts. This is the good news. This is the gold. And good news shouldn't be contained. It should be told and retold And great stories should never stop. And praise God, it didn't. Praise God that the disciples unified, moved beyond Jerusalem, right? Journeying together, encouraging one another, unified, singing as they traveled, no longer traveling to the temple, but traveling with the temple in them. Full access all the time to the living God. What good news. And so this is where we are today. In this amazing state of wealth and privilege given to us by those who've gone before us. And the Comforter saying, I have given you wealth and privilege. But it wasn't to make you comfortable. It was to make you missional. So if this is a little scary, I don't want you to think, oh, great, another thing Christians have to go do. No. Sharing a God story, it might come with a little cold feet as the Comforter gets pulled back a little bit and you get out of your comfort zone. But it also comes with joy. The joy of saying, look at this gold that I found. Each morning when you wake up and you dig into the Word of God and you find that gold nugget for yourself, then the joy the Holy Spirit will provide will give you the opportunity to share that and to give it away. So this morning, Holy Spirit's pulling back that Comforter a little bit. He's inviting you to get up, to go out. And so I ask you to listen to where the Spirit might be asking you to go today. Maybe he'll lead you to El Salvador or to Kenya or some other foreign distant place to go on mission. Or maybe he'll lead you like Jason Erb, our missionary, to the local high school to tell them to serve. Maybe he'll lead you like our very own Carl Burton into Plattsville Public School to lead a reading club or a chess club. Maybe he'll lead you next year to volunteer at day camp. Did you know we only had 2 church volunteers at day camp this year? And Carl was one of them. And third generation says, but Libby, don't you have day camp staff? Isn't that what we pay the staff for? Yes. We pay the staff to lead the crafts. But Carl comes to help the crafts because he has a great story of great worth to tell these kids. Carl is first generation. Maybe Holy Spirit will lead you to volunteer at Kids Time or in our junior church. Our Kids Time will be happening on Tuesday evenings this year, and this is the biggest mission field we have, this upcoming generation, because the only wealth and privilege these kids have is physical. They don't even know who Jesus is, let alone that he is the light of the world. And they are just waiting for somebody to show them God's love. Is Holy Spirit pulling off the Comforter and asking that to be you? If it is, please see Melanie. She is praying that God will provide harvesters. Maybe God is leading you to serve our senior youth, our grade 9 to 12. These guys are the apple of my eye. They are just waiting for God to provide somebody who will be authentic with them. They don't care if you're old or less old. They don't care if you're cool or totally not. They have everything they need online except authentic relationships. And they are looking for first-generation relationships with adult believers who will show them the spirit of truth, because truth is the only thing their phone cannot determine. But they will keep looking at their phone for the answers if you don't pull off the comforter, get out of bed, go talk to Jazz. She is praying that people will show up and join her on this journey. The comforter wasn't given to make us comfortable. He was given to make us courageous witnesses to tell others about this gold that we have found. And the comforter might pull back the covers to make your feet a little cold. And that might be a little scary. I know having cold feet is not particularly fun. But don't worry. The comforter is also known as the advocate. And when you get to share that little gold nugget that you found, then John 16:8 happens. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. You see, there's no pressure because it's not your job to transform the world into your Father's likeness. Remember, that is what the Holy Spirit does in the individual. So once you share the good news, your God does the rest. All you have to do is get out of bed, keep in step with the Spirit, and go where He is leading you. So this morning, as we sing our last song, I challenge you to lean into the Holy Spirit. An internal thought, a quickening in your heart, a thought that just won't go away, that seems out of character with who you are. Those all might be Holy Spirit speaking to you. And maybe today you have committed your heart to Jesus. You have declared that He is Lord. You are sure of your salvation. But don't rest in your wealth and your privilege. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and where He wants you to go to tell your God story, to show His love so He can do the rest. So today after service, as you're enjoying your coffee and your snack, there's some boards here, there's papers outside, they're the same. I challenge you to wander over to these pieces of paper and peruse the list of potential volunteer positions that we're looking for so that we can show the love of God to our town. I challenge you just to go to each piece of paper and just read every spot. Read what is it that as a church community we are looking for. And then listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings. And then you get that pen and you write your name. And if you're a skeptic, just write it one time for one thing. And trust God. But this is for sure, that if you give up your comfort, that God will use what you give Him. That Holy Spirit will empower you. And that Jesus will get the glory. Let's pray together. God, we realize now the wealth and the privilege that we have been born into. We have been blessed with so much, and we've taken it for granted, thinking it was given for us to spend on ourselves. Forgive us for our comfort and our complacency. Forgive us for our dusty Bibles. Forgive us for being third generation to your goodness. And please transform us into first generation believers. Holy Spirit, ask us again. Invite us again to walk in step with your Spirit. Pull back the comforter so that our cold feet will cause us to move. Remind us that all we have is only because you have given it to us, and you gave us it to us to share and not to hoard. So this week, Holy Spirit, as you did with Peter, give us boldness. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can stand up in our sphere of influence and we can share about the good news of Jesus by the power of your Spirit. Amen.